Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll be in verses 1 and 2. Taking a short break from the Gospel of John to do a couple holiday-related sermons. Now, as you're turning to Hebrews 12, you may be thinking, what does this passage have to do with Christmas, Pastor Matt? What about Luke 2? Or something like that. And those are good questions because this passage is not an inherently Christmas passage. So then why preach it? I'll admit this is a unique sermon for Christmas time, but as you may have found out, I like to use unique passages for holidays. So why do I do this? There is, of course, a place for preaching the traditional passages for holidays. In fact, on Christmas Eve, I'm going to be preaching from Luke 2. They should be preached. But what I've found is that for those of us who have been in church for a long time, the holidays can easily become this time to kind of shut off our brains, where it's like, I've heard it before. And this week, I want to keep you on your toes. I want you not to shut off your brain, but to use it. And I also want you to see that though this passage of Scripture may not be an inherently Christmas passage, it's very applicable to this season. I want you to see that God's word is applicable to us no matter the season. So let's read the passage this morning to begin. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So as we think about Christmas, we know it's a time of the celebration of the birth of Jesus. His birth has brought good news of great joy for all people. But why? Because God became flesh and dwelt among us. He humbled himself in order to deliver us from our sins. So truly, the Savior was born in Bethlehem, and we rejoice in that fact for Christmas. This is important to remember and to reflect upon, but we also must live in light of his coming. So the story, of course, didn't stop in the manger. He was born to die for us, and he rose again. So we don't just say, oh, so nice, he came, and not let it impact us. But we say he came, and he came for a purpose. He came, and he saved me from my sin, and now I live a life of faith in him. So we ought to let his coming propel us onward in faith. So really, that's where this passage comes into Christmas. So he came and was born, amen. But he came also as the Savior of the world who accomplished redemption for us. So now, by faith, we trust in him and we live by faith in him. Hebrews 11 talks about all the Old Testament people of faith, how they believed God. They looked forward in faith to the coming Messiah, and now we look backward in faith to the Messiah who came. And what all this means is that Christ's birth cannot be disconnected from our faith. It is the baby born in Bethlehem that grew up and went to die for us. It is him who we have placed our faith in. He is, as this passage says, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So really remember that. The baby born in Bethlehem is the founder and perfecter of our faith. So with these things in mind, I want to ask you this question this morning. How are you doing this Christmas? How are you doing? So not just the typical answer, oh, good. You know, I'm doing well. Right? No, really think about, how are you doing this Christmas? Because at Christmas time, there are differing thoughts and emotions that people have. For some, Christmas is a joyful time. They're just utterly focused on the birth of Christ. They get into the holiday spirit. I mean, they started Christmas music back in the beginning of November. They're a little bit crazy, but, you know, they started then. They enjoy each day. But for others, Christmas is actually a hard time. It's a sad time as they think about those maybe who aren't with them anymore. For others, loneliness really ramps up during the season. Or even some, their physical limitations don't allow them to enjoy it as much as they used to. You see, Christmas time kind of brings out some of these thoughts and emotions in our lives. Christmas may be easy for you, but it may be hard for some others. So no matter what category you're in this year, I want you to consider that question, how are you doing this Christmas? So I'm not asking, you know, are you ready with all your gifts? But I'm saying, how is your race of faith? I'm asking that question because Christmas can either advance our faith or stall it. You see, as this passage shows us, there is a race we are running. There is a race we are running. That's the blank. It's not working right now, but there is a race we are running. David L. Allen gives this story. He says, it's a grueling 543.7-mile endurance race from Sydney to Melbourne, Australia, the world's longest and toughest ultra-marathon. In 1983, 150 world-class runners converged on Sydney for the event. On the day of the race, a toothless 61-year-old potato farmer and sheep herder named Cliff Young approached the table wearing overalls and galoshes over his work boots. At first, people thought he was there to watch the race, but to their surprise, he declared his intention to run and requested a number. Cliff Young had grown up on a farm without the benefits of horses or four-wheel drives. When the storms rolled in, he headed out to round up 2,000 sheep over a 2,000-acre farm. Sometimes he had to run 2 or 3 days to complete the roundup. When the gun for the race went off, bystanders snickered at Cliff as he was left behind in his overalls as the other runners with their sculpted bodies and running gear briskly began the race. 5 days, 15 hours, and 4 minutes later, Cliff Young came shuffling across the finish line in Melbourne, winning the ultra marathon. And he didn't win by seconds or even a few minutes. The nearest runner was 9 hours and 56 minutes behind. Australians were stunned at this remarkable yet seemingly impossible victory. So how did it happen? Everyone knew that the only way to win the ultra marathon was to run for 18 hours and then sleep for 6. This routine was repeated for 5 punishing days. But no one told Cliff Young. He shuffled along day and night, night and day, without stopping to sleep. He broke the previous record by 9 hours and became overnight a national hero. And this story reminds us that the Christian life isn't a leisurely stroll. It's not a time for sleep. It's a race. It's not even a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. And the great thing is, for this race, in Hebrews, we don't have to look like professional runners to race. We don't have to have the body of an athlete to run it. In fact, we can look like a Cliff Young, and we can still run the race. That's because the race that we're told to run isn't a physical race. It is a spiritual one. It is the race of faith. And the author of Hebrews tells us of these great examples of faith in Hebrews 11. And now he goes into chapter 12 and he says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So you don't need running shoes for this race, but you do need your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. You don't need to train long hours in the gym for this race, but long hours in the Word. So the nature of this race is faith. And the characteristics of this race is that it is long-lasting and difficult. Think about any marathon. It's long, it's strenuous. You can't get around that fact. If you ever run for a long distance, you know it's not for the faint of heart. It's not easy. It's grueling. So also, the race of faith is not easy, but it is difficult. It's going to take your time. It's going to take your energy and effort and strength. And I'd go so far to say that if your race of faith is easy all the time, then there's something wrong. In life, we face times that we want to give up. We face trials, we face hardships, obstacles, temptations along the way. And our faith will be tried, it will be tested, it will be stretched. But glory to God, because as Hebrews says, the race is set before us. The life of faith that we ought to live is set out in front of us. God has established it. It is ready to be run. You know, it's hard when to run a race if you don't know where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, it's a lot harder because you're, instead of focusing on the path ahead, you're like, wait, where am I going now? Like, which path am I supposed to take? You know, you can easily become discouraged. You want to give up if the path isn't there. But we're not in that position. God has set the race before us, and we are to run it with endurance. So we don't go looking for the race path, but we run the path that is set before us. And this path is set before us in His Word. As we see Pat's examples of faith, we see, most importantly, Christ. And what a blessing it is to know that our path is set before us. But the question for you is, do you run it? Do you run it? Or do you get sidetracked in your faith? You know, at Christmas time, for some of us, we forget that we're still running a race here. You know, Christmas can easily become this time of stopping and walking and cruise control. We shut off our minds because we've all heard the story 20, 30, 50, 70 years in a row. But don't let Christmas season take you away from running the race of faith. But let it push you onward. Let it rejuvenate you as you run and remember the importance of Christ and His birth. So this all reminds us that there is a race we are running, but also this race must be run with endurance. This race must be run with endurance. For a short time, I was an assistant basketball coach at a small Christian school. And in practice, we would make the boys run to get them in shape. So sometimes for fun, I would run along with them. But the thing was, the running really wasn't for me. I was just the coach. I could stop running and it'd be fine. No one really cared. But it wasn't required of me to run. But if one of the students, one of the players stopped running, we would get on their case. And this reminds us that this race, which we're called to run, isn't one of just mere fun where, if you stopped, it's okay, right? You're just the coach. You don't really need to be in shape, right? I mean, you should, but for the game, you don't really need to be in shape. So, yeah, whatever, you can stop. That's not the race of faith. It must be run with endurance. And actually, as Hebrews emphasizes, to stop running the race of faith shows that you have no faith. But if you continue running, it shows that you're living by faith. That's why the author of Hebrews keeps pushing to us to perseverance and endurance, endure in the faith. So maybe you're here sitting and you're thinking, okay, this race of faith must be run with endurance, but how do I do that? What ways help me to run with endurance? Well, this passage tells us, we run with endurance by laying aside weights and sins. Sin, as seen here, likes to cling closely. It makes our running very hard, harder than it should be. Weights here aren't necessarily sins, but they are things that hinder our ability to run. So that means these are things that aren't inherently wrong, but they are things that hamper our ability to run well. They are sheddable. So think about your life. What weights or sins are holding you back from running with endurance right now during this season? Is the consumerism of the holiday a struggle for you? Then consciously determine to focus more on Christ and less on shopping. Are all the gifts that you receive a temptation for you to prize them over Christ? Then ask for others to give less to you so you can focus on the greatest gift, Jesus. Are you tempted to enjoy the feeling of Christmas time and time with family over the Lord? Then dive deeper into His Word. Does the busyness of this time and the stress that you feel weigh you down in your running? Then maybe decide not to do as much as you have in the past. Maybe not go all out as you have in some area. And it's interesting how these suggestions kind of hit us hard. But yet, any suggestion to cut back at church or in your faith is more than welcome. Some may say, what? I can't ask for less gifts. I can't not do that anymore. Really? You can't? I mean, some things are essential, but really? Everything that you do. If someone asked you to cut back at church, at serving, you would probably be okay with it. Someone asked you to cut back on your Christmas time routine, and you're on edge. That's because, think about it, that's because many of us take our race of faith lightly, so we see these suggestions as extreme. But if you truly understood the reality of what the author of Hebrews is calling us to, then we would see these cuts as necessary. Lay aside anything that hinders your ability to run well. Realize that what is important in life. Realize where your priorities are at. Think about what is going to last into eternity. Think about, am I able to grow in my faith, or is this going to hinder or hurt my faith? We're also able to run with endurance by looking to great examples. Back in verse 1, it said, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance. You know, many people see this verse as picturing saints of old looking down at us and cheering us on. But the main point is that they are witnesses. That is, they give witness to a life of faith. Think about, he just said, Hebrews 11, all these things that they have done and gone through, yet they endured. And he's saying, look at these witnesses to a life of faith. So they aren't looking at our lives. We're looking to their lives for motivation. We're called to run the race because we're motivated by their example. We're surrounded by these examples of men and women. And their endurance inspires us to endure. So the life of faith isn't something new that only we have experienced. But it's been lived out by countless others. This great cloud of witnesses can testify to the need to continue on. They can give witness to the fact that it's possible to run well, and they can also testify to the fact that it's worth it. It's not easy, but it's worth it. They sacrificed. They endured hardship because they had assurance and conviction of things unseen. Their eyes were looking forward to the promises of God, which would be fulfilled. Really, it comes down to they trusted God. They trusted Him. So don't give up. Look to these past examples of faith. It's possible to live this life of faith with perseverance. You know, knowing that someone has done something in the past gives us confidence that, oh yeah, you know, I can do this too. If that many people with that many differing backgrounds could run the race of faith, then you can too. And think about it too, these Old Testament examples didn't have the Spirit indwelling in them like we do. Now at times the Spirit would come upon one person here and there, of course. But we, as Christians, have the Spirit of God within us. It can be done with endurance. But as we see in this passage, the most important motivation is given in Jesus. We're told to look to Him. So we look to Jesus, who came and was born in the sin-cursed world. We look to Jesus, who's the founder and perfecter of our faith. We look to Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Your focus is very important when you run a race. So imagine you're running and you're just constantly looking behind you or looking to the side. You're going to end up stumbling. You're going to end up falling because you're looking all everywhere else. So also our focus in the race of faith is critical. So our eyes aren't to be on us, you know, looking down. Oh, you know, do I look good right now, you know, or, you know, what's going on? You know, we don't look to us. We don't look to the distractions on the left or right. We don't look at the other runners comparing ourselves. Our eyes are to be on Jesus. He's our focus. He's our ultimate motivation. So we must keep our eyes on Him as we live the Christian life. Because if your eyes are off Jesus, then you're going to be stumbling. Because you're not depending on Him. So this means, as we're running, we don't look inward and say, oh man, I just need more strength here. But we look outward to Him who gives us the strength, who gives us the grace and encouragement that we need. Like a runner fixed on that finish line. So imagine if you're running, you just see that finish line, you just focus like, I need to get there. That's how it is in the race of faith. We're focused on Christ. And that's what we're striving towards. We may struggle, we might get tired, distractions may tempt us to put our gaze away, but we're fixed on Him. And what example did He show? For the joy set before Him endured the cross. Remember that phrase, set before? Reminds us that our race is set before us, and His joy was set before Him, and He did it. He knew the cross wouldn't be easy. It wasn't a piece of cake. It would take endurance. It would be hard. But He looked forward to the prize, that is the joy to come, and His joy was our redemption and His glorification. This must be our perspective in the race, in life. We must realize that it will be hard. We need endurance, but it will be totally worth it. It will be worth it. There's joy to come, which makes everything that we go through now, as Paul says, light momentary affliction. Where are your eyes fixed on as you live your life? Are you easily distracted or your eyes on your Savior? Do you look down in despair or up in hope? Do you look to the side longing for other things or longing for Christ? Do you look behind in regret or forward in joy? When you think about this time of year, it's so easy to get your eyes fixed on so many other things. The truth is, it comes natural to let Christmas be a time of distraction from your race. You know, our sight could be just solely focused on family and friends to the detriment of our walk with the Lord. Our gaze could be on all the gifts we receive or even the gifts that we give. It could be on the pretty lights, sights, or delights. It could be on a stocking, shopping, or eggnogging. Right? All these things. But the Word of God tells us to look to Jesus. So what are you looking at this Christmas? More precisely, who are you looking at? Are you looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith? Are you looking elsewhere? Are you distracted by so many things? You know, Christmas is an interesting time in our lives. When it comes to our faith, for some Christians, Christmas is the easy part in our race of faith. It's a time to slow down and focus on Christ and relax a little bit. For those of you in that camp, I would say this. It's great that Christmas does that for you, but don't just let Christmas every year just be the pinnacle of your spiritual life. But may this focus and well-run stretch be done throughout the whole year. May you be continue growing in grace. But there are others of you in another camp. For you, Christmas time is the hard part of the race. For you, your faith takes a hit around the holidays. Maybe you miss someone so badly that you start to question God. Your faith starts to waver. Maybe you're just so easily distracted by all the excitement of Christmas and all the things that come along with it. Or maybe for you, Christmas means family tension, family struggles, family hurt, family fighting. Or even the hard part is because the holidays, they're extra busy and extra stress. You know, you're running around from here to here, shopping and doing this and doing that, putting up lights, whatever it may be. The kids are, you know, they're driving you nuts. Other people at work are driving you nuts. Traveling is bringing your sin to the surface. The busyness and stress is making you lash out at other people, tempers at an all-time high. But also, one more part is, you know that period immediately after Christmas is over and the blues set in? For this group, I would say this. Remember that the race of faith never stops, not even during Christmas time, so be vigilant. So don't let the holidays be this time of cruising and stalling or walking, but lay aside those weights and sins. Look ultimately to Christ, who is your founder and perfecter of your faith, who is your ultimate motivator, who went to the cross and died for you, who is there interceding for you, who is encouraging you, is always with you. So when you feel some of these things, remember Christ. Look to Him. He's there to comfort you and help you and give you grace and strength. It was He who came to this earth being born of a virgin and lived a sinless life, performed many miracles that attested to His identity. He endured the cross for us in our place and for our sins so that we could be forgiven, and He arose from the graves so that we could have life. Will you trust Him and His work today if you have never believed in Him? And for those who have, will you continue looking to your great and merciful Savior? Now, at Christmas time, like I said, we are weighed down sometimes by some of these things, and we tend to look inward, or we tend to look for these outlets to relieve stress when the Bible tells us to look to Jesus. Look to Him, and He's there for you. So I want you to remember this morning as you walk out today, run the race of faith with endurance this Christmas. Run the race of faith with endurance this Christmas. So as you think about what I said at the beginning, how is your race running going this Christmas? How was it before Christmas? How is it going to be after Christmas? The day of Christmas? Let's always remember that there is a race we are running. It is a race of faith, and it must be run with endurance so we don't give up. We look to the joy that is set before us. We lay aside those weights and sins. We look to past examples of faith. We all looked ultimately to Christ. So don't allow yourself to be distracted. But look to the one who the book of Philippians says, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And he's the one that we celebrate at Christmas. And he's the one that we look to. Let's pray. Dear good and gracious God, we are thankful for Jesus. We are thankful that you determined before even time began that you would send Christ as our Savior. You would send him and he would have these humble beginnings here in a manger. He wasn't in a castle. He wasn't in this big kingdom. He was in a manger. And his message, the angels went to shepherds, first of all. We're reminded that Christ, in his humility, came for us. And so help us to look to him, be reminded of his great work that he has done. Let it motivate us to persevere and realize that it is definitely worth it to continue on. And though it may be hard, we get our endurance from you ultimately. We know that there is joy that is set before us. In Christ's name, amen. At this time,